Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Not a lot of things about the Browns right now are being described as underrated, right? Maybe the D-line.
Yeah. Even that, I mean, okay, that's a good one, because PFF had them at 7th overall.
Yeah.
And I was like, what, 7th? It's supposed to be the best part of this team. Are they not accounting for Mason Graham? What's going on here?
But two guys who used to work at PFF, now part of the 33rd team and the Check the Mic podcast, Sam Monson and Steve Palazzolo, talked about one part of the Browns that might be criminally underrated.
I think this is a crazy grading. I think this is utterly ridiculous. In fact, again, starting point, Myles Garrett demanded a trade. Instead of trading one of the best players in the NFL, they've extended him and got him locked into a new contract. You can debate how they got there, but they ended up with the quarterback I would have taken at number two. Like, I would have taken Shedeur Sanders just because I think they need a way out of that. They got him in the 5th round. So they got the same guy, and they're paying him like a fraction of the money they would be paying him if they got him at number two. And they got an extra roll of the dice, like a bonus lottery ticket with Dylan Gabriel in the 3rd round as well. And trade down and pick up the extra first round pick next year. And as much as Travis Hunter is special, he's unique, somebody that hasn't come along for decades, I still think the smart move is to pick up the first round pick for next year, if for no other reason than you need the quarterback, not the guy that plays corner or wide receiver.
So what I do think is a very interesting context to this is there were points at the very beginning of the offseason where we thought this was going to be a disastrous offseason for the Browns. It didn't turn out to be that. So at least in that way alone, it's underrated.
First off, very brave of Sam to admit that he wanted the Browns to take him at number two overall, and then watching him go to the 5th round, because there are not many people out there that are willing to put that take back out there.
Well, see, because they said the opposite 2 weeks previously, so they flip-flopped enough that they can say they said anything.
Is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah, you were one of the few, you and Sam together.
Just very brave of him, because it's just not, I didn't know it was a real brothers-in-arms handshake emoji agreement moment between Sam and myself. I just feel like so many people have run from any idea that they ever even wanted Shedeur Sanders at number two. So even like bring that back out there, tip of the cap to you. Jeter, respect, tip of the cap to you right there.
That's actually, that's a great point. How many people have, since the draft, just been like, yeah, no, we knew he was going to be a 5th round pick. It's like, he didn't know bleep. However, do you think that the Browns offseason is underrated?
So they haven't, outside of the draft, I would love to know why they think it's underrated. Like, the draft was great, and there's a lot of pieces of it that could potentially be great, is what I should say. I liked a lot of this draft. I really did. Even from the running back side of things, there's a lot to enjoy. But it's not like they spent a lot of money in a lot of places. It's not as if we added a lot of, we didn't add anything as far as the offensive line is concerned outside of Tevin Jenkins. We didn't do anything with the wide receivers.
You did add Malik Collins. He's your big ticket this offseason, which is not typically a big ticket, but that's your biggest move so far.
Yeah, and we pointed that out the other day when we were reading the whole recap of the Browns in general a couple days ago that ESPN had out there, where it was, what, $17 million in total? And that was like the big ticket move. That was the biggest actual money-making change that you did. It's just not a lot. It's not a lot that was put towards this team.
So I think because if the Browns had intended to win, Deshaun has a good year last year, but somehow you end up with a top five pick, whatever. If the Browns intended to win this next year, then they were going to be really hard-pressed to make those kind of moves, but they could have done it. They could have kicked more money down the road. They could have kicked more stuff down, kicked the can down the road on a few more contracts, maybe had a few more extensions kind of lined up. But because I think they looked at this and said, what if we just have a year where we just kind of see where it goes, which is very different than the 3 previous off seasons, maybe 5 or 6 previous off seasons. There weren't a lot of things they could do. So something like Miles and navigating the trade request. Yes, absolutely. That's a feather in your cap. If you think the best thing for them to do was to re-sign Miles and keep him in the groove there. Because they don't have a lot of big-ticket trades or free agent, practically none, which, again, they shouldn't have. They should not have moved more cap around.
I don't disagree with it, by the way. They should have. I would have done exactly what they did in many, many respects to this offseason.
So in a way, it's a safe offseason. And again, there are no safe offseasons because you can screw up the safe moves. You can screw up the draft. But yeah, I didn't listen at the start of this. I didn't want the Browns throwing good money after bad, which is continuing to chase this idea of we're a playoff team, we're a championship team. I looked at this as the last Russ Wilson year in Denver, where it was, you're going to play here. We're going to try and...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Figure this out, but we're not beholden to you, and we're just going to try and get through a couple bad contracts.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, that is what they're setting this up to. So I think, like, I they didn't swim against the current, which is smart because they shouldn't have.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to figure out what part of it then is considered an underrated off season. Is it
it's the Miles thing for him?
Is that what it is?
Yes,
just be retaining the guy that PFF has as the best defensive player in the sport the past three seasons, according to their grading, that was enough to make the offseason to win?
So, yes. And
okay.
How do you feel about that?
No, if you want to call it a win, I don't know that I make it then underrated and sneaky good. But yeah, losing Miles would have been a completely different scenario for a lot of people.
I think the only thing that they could have done that was earth-shaking one way or another this offseason was trade Miles. And I think it would have taken a lot more stones to trade Miles than call him on his bleep. But you did do. I mean, listen, I don't know you could even have said that there would have been a bad... The only thing that would have been bad for Miles is if you had made a bad trade for Miles. But, like, you called him on his bleep. You knew Miles well enough that with just subtle pressure of free agency coming up, he'd fold like a cheap accordion. And that's exactly what he did. I think, like, listen, I got a lot of things to say about the Browns. I would have traded Miles. I was a little over Miles. I was a little over. And I saw what Miles was saying, by the way. I saw his point of view, which is I want to mm-hmm. win. I sympathize with that. I think he had earned that at this point. And I also thought you can get an earth-shaking kind of trade for Miles. It could end up being the best of both worlds. That said, you knew him better than anyone, and you called him on his you-know-what. Granted, you gave him $40 million a year, but yeah, that's what he's worth.
It's what he's worth.
So, yeah. Like, I do think, like, I'm loath to give Andrew Berry credit because we can look at his free agent moves. Not a lot have worked out really well. His trades have been, by and large, pretty darn good, but his drafting has not been nearly good enough. Not a disastrous GM, but not a great GM. Somewhere in the middle and probably towards the bottom. I think we got to give him more credit for this offseason.
So what's tough about that, though, is in response to the Myles Garrett side of things, it does kind of feel like you're crediting the arsonist for putting out the fire. You know, like if he had done his job better, Myles Garrett wouldn't have been going on Radio Row trying to demand trades and trying to request everything and find his way out of it. So in a weird way, yes, he did a great job in calling out his bluff and getting to a spot where he could just pay Myles Garrett a bunch of money, but it does feel like you're crediting the arsonist for putting out the fire.
Well, the thing is, I don't really think it was ever about that for Miles. Because I think it was proven that when he signed for the money he signed and he just gave in. And we can talk about how he didn't have leverage. He did have leverage. Trey Hendrickson is still holding out. Shamar Stewart is still holding out. He's a draft pick. So, like, Miles didn't even test it. It was very apparent that once Miles saw $40 million a year, Miles thought, well, you know what? Losing in Cleveland isn't so bad. So, like, I don't even know that I originally agree that Andrew's the arsonist. I think it is like a Scooby-Doo situation where you rip off the Andrew mask and the real arsonist to the whole saga that is Miles' trade demand is Miles himself.
No, I'm looking more at the idea that he's the constructor of the team and the team itself is why Miles wanted out. That's why he'd be the arsonist in this scenario.
I think that's just been proven. I think that's been negated by the fact that Miles just took the money and shut up.
Yeah, we've disagreed on that before. It's okay. We don't have to rehash the Myles Garrett thing right now. But the point is, at least for me, is it overrated? Is it underrated? How do you view the Browns offseason if keeping Miles is the only thing you do? And because he's that impactful of a player, if you want to tell me that's made it a sneaky underrated offseason, I'm all right with that.
216-474-0092. For you guys, do you think the Browns are having an underrated offseason? I know people are loath to give the Browns any sort of credit for anything right now, coming off 3-14 of the Deshaun debacle. I actually think we probably should, in terms of the general direction of this offseason. More on why it's underrated in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.